We're now going to consider the psalm which follows that reading from Isaiah. It's also a servant song, not one of the servant songs from Isaiah, but another kind. And it's a proclamation of God's mercy. And then, in the part that is not in the lectionary, a prayer. But the first part of this is, I waited for the Lord, and he stooped toward me and heard my cry. He put in a new song into my mouth, a hymn to our God. Now, you know, once when I was reading this and praying about it, I realized this is the song that Jesus sang when he rose from the dead. Kove kaviti. I waited for the Lord. And he stooped down and put a new song in my mouth. Now, there are the abbreviation of the psalm is obvious, huh? But, and he drew me out of the deep pit and so forth, huh? And put a hymn to our God. He put in my mouth the Shir Hadash, the new song. All the way through the Old Testament, there is this call to sing a new song. Augustine has a beautiful commentary on it. The new song is because of the new way God has acted in our salvation. It's a hymn of thanksgiving and glorification to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for the work of salvation wrought in and through the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And so this psalmist is saying, I waited for the Lord, Jesus in the grave. And he stooped and heard my cry. And he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn to our God. Now the psalm goes on, he drew me out of the pit of destruction, out of the mud of the swamp, and set my feet upon rock, steadied my steps. You see, that part's left out here, but you see how important it is. He drew me right out of the earth, drew me out of the swamp. Now, what does that say about God, the very eternal Son of God, you know, is buried in the earth and raised by the Father? Pope John Paul, I think it's his letter on mercy, says, in a way, the Father showed mercy to his Son by raising him up from the grave. You see? And he put this new song into my mouth. And then the prophecy, which is not in the lectionary, I advise you, if you're getting homilies ready, to sometimes look and at the full text and get a sense of what this psalm is all about, so you can explain it to the people. Many shall look on in awe, and they shall trust in the Lord. And it's many, you see, will look on in awe, and they will begin to trust the Lord. And then, happy those whose trust is in the Lord, who do not turn to idolatry or to those who stray after falsehood. How numerous, O Lord, my God, have you made your wondrous deeds, and in your plans for us there is none to equal you. Should I wish to deserve or tell them, too many are they to recount. And now the lectionary picks up again. Sacrifice and offering you did not want, but ears open to obedience you gave me. I'm going to come back to that. I want to finish reading what part is in the lectionary. Holocausts and sin offerings you do not require. I said, here I am. Your commands for me are written in the scroll. To do your will is my delight, my God. Your law is in my heart. I announced your deed to a great assembly. I did not restrain my lips. Lord, you are my witness. Now, as this text goes on in the psalm, you see, it talks about you fitted out a body for me. You see, sacrifice and offering you did not want, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Now, that's a free translation of what the text actually says. I don't mean actually like they made a mistake. I mean, it's simpler than that. It says, you opened, actually almost dug out my ear. In other words, you made me capable of listening and following through. Now, the letter to the Hebrews, as you may recall, uses this psalm, you know. I don't have time to read the whole thing, but this is 10:5. Therefore, coming into the world, he says, sacrifice and offering you did not want, a body you fitted out for me. Now that line, a body you fitted out for me, translates, but it doesn't translate, interprets the notion of obedience. Now what is going on here? This great mystic who wrote Hebrews is one of the most daring parts of the whole Bible. Is saying, Lord, your will cannot be effective unless it has an historical dimension. And that historical dimension means that it must be a body. And so, the Septuagint does not have this text. Our author does, whether his justification for it is other texts that we don't have, whether it's himself, knowing that we know the other text, not just open my ears, you give me a body. And in this body, I can pray, preach, suffer, heal, and rise. And I give to your will a whole new presence on earth. And this then becomes enlivened by the Holy Spirit. And so you see, here is the servant, Jesus. And as this text goes, you fitted out a body for me, okay? Holocaust and sacrifice for sin, you took no pleasure in. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written concerning me to do your will, O God. Now, do you see the servant? Intimate with God and doing the will of God. Now, this text, you see, goes on. I'll come back. Do your will. In this will, we are sanctified by the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So what makes us holy is the offering of Jesus, offering his whole body person to the Father, and therefore changing time. It's no longer just time, no longer even Sabbath time. It's time that centers on the body of Christ. You fitted out a body for me so that I can give historical, physical, human dimension to your will. And then, as the author goes on to say, and it's in this will of the Father that we're saved, that we're sanctified, he says here. And so this is so important. And this psalm, you see, we're going to look at other parts of it now. This psalm is coming as a commentary on Isaiah. the servant, who with his own body is serving the Lord, and is a prophecy of Jesus serving his Father. It's a very powerful psalm. And Koveh Kiviti means, the word Kavah, Koveh, means to wait. And the word Batach means to trust. Very often in the Septuagint, the Greek translation, the word for wait and the word for trust are both translated by the word in Greek, elpis. So that's where our whole notion of hope comes from. It is waiting, but with confidence. And that's what our Lord did. I waited for the Lord. And he heard me and drew me out of the pit of destruction, out of the mud of the swamp, and set my feet upon rock, steadied my steps, and put a new song in my mouth, a hymn to our God. And then the prophetic part, it's not here, but it hopefully recalled, many shall look on in awe, and they shall trust in the Lord. Once they see what happens to me, they will trust in the Lord. Once they see that you, Father, raise me from the pit. As we say in the Apostles' Creed, he descended into hell. The theologians debate about what that actually means, but it surely doesn't mean he was on a vacation. He descended into hell. Then you drew me out of the pit. And many who see this, who celebrate my resurrection every Sunday, will take heart, will know that God never abandons us. And so, this beautiful psalm of the servant is put here to encourage us. Many will see, you see, and take courage, be joyful. He then compares it in the part we have in the psalm, in the lectionary. Sacrifice and offering you did not want, but ears open to obedience you gave me. Now, this other text says a body able to give obedience to you. The Hebrew text says ears open to obedience you gave me. The karat means more like dig out almost. So, you don't require holocausts and sin offerings because here I am, your commands for me are in the scroll. To do your will is my delight. Your law is in my heart. That's, you see, the intimacy. And then I have announced your deed to a great assembly. I did not restrain my lips. Lord, you know, even as we sit here doing this, the Lord, throughout the whole universe, is declaring the fidelity of the Father.